This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy.
Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online.
Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both.
See why people wish they'd try couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. We have another wonderful show in store for you with an amazing guest. Really looking forward to bringing her on. Hey, did you catch last week's show with astrologer Susan Miller? Oh, she has so many amazing, fun stories. I hope you caught that episode. And if you didn't, make sure to go out and look for it on all the podcasting platforms and, of course, on all the social media. So we start off, as we always do, with my blog post from a couple of years ago. And this week's blog post is an interesting one. It is entitled, "To Hear Our True Voice, We Must Listen to Our Heart." There is a voice inside of us that speaks the truth. It can be a tiny voice that is hard to hear. Sometimes we mistake other voices for it, so we get confused why things don't go well. For we think that the voice in our head is this special voice. That voice often leads us astray. It takes us places we thought we wanted to go. In reality, it takes us places that other people wanted us to go. The voice in our head is easily influenced. It is influenced by so many things, by our upbringing, by our parents, our peers, media, and society at large. So the voice in our head is not our true voice. Our true voice is the voice in our heart. For our heart always speaks our truth. Yet it is so buried and so drowned out by all the other voices, it is very hard to hear. To hear it clearly takes stillness, gentleness, and feeling safe. So much of life today takes us away from these qualities. It takes practice, patience, and time alone to truly hear it. Sometimes we think the voice in our head is the voice in our heart, so we get confused. We get disappointed when we follow that voice only to end up in a place that doesn't serve us. And we think our heart has lied to us. But our heart never lies to us. To hear our heart, we must first listen to our body. Our body tells us so much. It holds all of our history and our experiences. And it contains our heart. When we are used to feeling the same sensations in our body, then we can tune in and feel what our heart is truly saying. What it is saying from that still place, from the center of our being. It speaks our truth. Not shouting it out loudly for everyone to hear, softly for us to feel. The simplest way to tune into our heart is to just feel for a yes or a no to a question. Does it feel right? Does it feel expansive? or does it feel heavy and contractive? It is a simple test. Yet there's a world of information in that little exercise. Listening to our heart is not hard once we get used to it, but hearing it for the first time can be challenging. After ignoring it for so long, the first sounds it make may be ones of pain. And that pain is what has kept us from listening to it all along. Yet if we are to hear it clearly, we must listen to all it has to say. Hearing the pain is an important first step. For behind the pain is so much more. And once we get through it, there is a world of joy awaiting for us. Learning to hear our true heart's voice is a practice, one that can take a lot of effort and time. The rewards of making that effort are numerous. So let's be brave together and make that effort to hear our own heart's voice. So I wrote this blog post after having a conversation with someone who came to one of our ceremonies, who we were talking about listening to our hearts. And he said to me, "Oh, I can't listen to my heart. It always leads me astray. It always gives me the wrong answer." And I sat with him. And we chatted about this. And I asked him, I was like, "Well, what did your heart say that led you astray?" And he started telling me some of the things. I'm listening and I'm like, that feels more like your head talking than your heart. And he looked at me wide-eyed like, "Huh? What do you mean?" And then we got into this whole conversation around the difference between listening to our head and listening to our hearts. And that was sort of the seed, the kernel from which this blog post was birthed. Because the more I sat with it and felt into it, I realized that the heart never truly leads us astray. Those quote unquote emotional decisions that we think are not doing us justice are usually not from the heart, but from the mind. It's the mind telling us what we think we should want, what society is telling us we should want, what our parents and our teachers and our colleagues and our bosses telling us we should want. But the heart knows our truth. So I thought about this, like, why do we get so confused about this? And then I realized after sitting with it and listening to my own heart, that, it's not so easy to hear the heart clearly because the heart has felt a lot of pain. It's felt a lot of anguish, rage, terror, fear. And so it protects itself. We don't want to feel that because it's so uncomfortable. It's so hard to get through those feelings. And that's why I do the transformational work that I do, because it helps to clear out those blockages so that we can get to what the heart truly is telling us, what it's really saying to us. And so it's tuning into our bodies, because the body holds all the information, holds all the memories. And when we can really dive deep and hear the heart will never lead us astray. May that always encourage us to go in the easiest path. It may feel like a struggle at times, but that doesn't mean it isn't the path that's true for us. That's what we really desire deep, deep inside. So that's my blog post for this week. It's entitled again, "To Hear Our True Voice, We Must Listen to Our Heart." And of course, you can always find my blog on my personally branded website at theconsciousconsultant.com. And of course, on the station's website at talkradio.nyc/blog. Okay. Now, it is my pleasure to welcome to the show multiple-time best-selling author, TEDx speaker, international trainer, and professional coach, Jackie Woodside. Jackie is the founder of the Conscious Living Podcast and the Conscious Living Summit. She is also the executive producer of the upcoming films, Money Vibe, due out later this year, based on her best-selling book, and The Frequency of Miracles, based on her curriculum for the Conscious Living work. She's been featured on television shows with Jack Canfield and Don Miguel Ruiz, and educational summits with the likes of Marianne Williamson, Neil Donald Walsh, Michael Beckwith, and Daniel Siegel. Her expertise is widely sought out as a teacher and speaker. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Jackie.
Hey, thanks so much, Sam. Gosh, listening to your blog post made me remember why I liked you so much the first time we met and felt like you were just such a kindred soul with me. So thank you so much for that introduction and thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Yeah, it's kind of funny how the blog posts just, you know, by happenstance always turn out to seem to be the best ones for the show that week.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect.
So, you know, I always like to start off kind of asking about people's backgrounds a little bit. You know, I like to give my audience who may or may not know you, just kind of a little background, like how did you get into this whole transformational work and the idea of living consciously and what kind of brought you into this world of transformation?
Yeah, sure. Gosh, you know, it's always a long and circuitous route, but I was a psychotherapist for about 30 years. I've also been a coach for 30 years. No, I'm not 90 years old. I just overlapped those two fields.
I was going to say you started when you were 10, right?
Yeah, I started when I was 10, right? No, I overlapped for 15 years and had both a coaching and a psychotherapy practice, but now I'm full-time as a speaker, coach, author, trainer. And you know, what really got me into this, I feel like I was born to do this work. It's all I ever considered doing. All I've ever really learned and studied and still to this very day, the books that I read, it's all about the human condition. And I guess what got me started down the path of conscious living was maybe my own process, you know, of going from hot mess to happy and blessed, as I like to say, overcoming, you know, addiction and depression and PTSD and domestic violence and homelessness. And, you know, I really was, no kidding, a hot mess earlier on in my life. My one of my claims to fame is I had a psychotherapist write an article about me and it got published. That's next level hot mess. You know, and by the grace of God, one day at a time, here I am, you know, happily married, homeless to multiple seven figures, three waterfront homes, doing work that I love, and wow, you know, very gratefully being able to make a living doing it. So I've always really loved understanding the human condition. That intersection of science and spirituality is the sweet spot for me, and it's what has drawn me in.
I'm just curious about the foundation of the hot mess aspect.
Yeah,
I mean, did that come from a broken home? Did that come from, you know, violence or abuse in your household when you were a kid?
So thank you for asking. You know, my mom was widowed when I was 2 years old. She was left with three kids and a high school education. You know, my father's dad also died just 3 months before he did. And his brother also died 6 months before that. So in 9 months, my family was decimated. Three men in my family died in separate car accidents. And my mom's remedy to that as best she could was, you know, kind of, anger in the bottle. So, and you know, good woman, a strong woman, but you know, I mean, who would want to be in that situation, right?
In car accidents. So not like from a disease or anything, but very sudden.
Three separate car accidents.
Wow.
Absolutely remarkable. So, you know, so I had a lot of trauma in my early years, a lot of things that I had to overcome. I was raised in a lower socioeconomic status. You know, my mom, like I said, three kids, high school education. So, and then I repeated those patterns, you know, getting into a domestic violence situation in my mid-20s. And, you know, again, with a really wonderful person who just was had an undiagnosed mental illness of bipolar disorder. So I learned a lot and had to kind of deal with a lot over those years. And, you know, and by the grace of God, I was able to do that.
I like to ask about things like this because sometimes I feel that when people see successful people, you know, three homes, international career and everything, they think, oh my God, she must be born with a silver spoon and a blessed life. And I really like to make the point that so many times it's the struggle, it's coming from those extreme challenges that really help to alchemize the best sides of ourselves and help us to find a path forward that we can then go out and inspire others to do the same.
Yeah, for sure. That's why I like to start with that, because exactly as you said, it's easy for people to look at my career and look at my life and be like, oh, you know, she's one of the lucky ones. You know, and I just want people to know that there's nothing special about me. If I was able to go from hot mess to happy and blessed, so can you. And, you know, the formula for me was I worked harder on myself than just about anyone I know. So when you do the work, it works, whether it's, you know, psychotherapy or 12 steps or, for me, participation in a Unity church was a big part of my in recovery, Landmark Education, the coursework at Landmark Education.
Landmark. Yeah.
You know, and all of that transformational work with wonderful mentors. So yeah, it's certainly possible no matter where you are, you know, no matter where you are. You know, I remember financially being homeless, could not afford first, last, and the deposit, you know, of what you had to put on. And, you know, was couch surfing, stayed with friends here and there. I mean, it was just a horrible, horrible, difficult time. But here I am, whatever. That was a long time ago. And yes, no matter where you are today, no matter how unconscious you may be living, that turning that path inward. And what I had to face was I'm the common denominator here.
Right.
I was the common denominator of the homelessness and the depression and the domestic violence. Yes, no, I was, you know, not the one doing the battering. I was the bad battered, but I was the one who put myself in that situation and continued to put myself in it until I was, you know, in such rough shape, I really needed to do something serious.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I would like to ask you just about the turning point. Like at what point in your life were you able to kind of see that and break yourself out and at least start that path towards change. And then we'll kind of talk about the path a little bit from there. Okay. Wonderful. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc and all over social media. And we'll be right back with our guest, Jackie Woodside, in just a moment.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills, on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with Jackie Woodside, creator of the upcoming films Money Vibe and The Frequency of Miracles. We'll talk about maybe some miracles in her own life. So Jackie, you, as you said, were a hot mess, domestic abuse in a really bad way. And you finally got to see that you were the common denominator in all these situations. Was there an aha moment? Was there something that kind of really woke you up? Or was it more just a gradual sort of, as you were doing your work, it kind of came to you?
You know, I think there was a couple. So there wasn't just one moment where I went from hot mess to happy and blessed. So there was not that one breakthrough moment. But a couple of things come to mind for me. One is when I was in that battering relationship and I had been knocked unconscious. And some friends of mine showed up at the apartment where I was living in Lynn, Massachusetts, and, you know, literally just took me out of there. They did an intervention that I wasn't able to do for myself. And that was a turning point for me to recognize just how far down I had gone and how crazy my life had become. So I, you know, was able to extract myself from that situation at that point. And so that was one turning point. The other one was when I many years later, I was married, had a house and a child, and I had a relapse into depression, which precipitated a relapse into addiction. My spouse lovingly said, "This is your choice. You know, you can live this way, but I can't." And I had to choose. You know, I'm going to keep repeating these patterns until I die, or I'm going to make a hard stop and really, really commit to a life of high consciousness living, spiritual living, sober, you know, clean and sober living. And a life of contributions rather than, you know, chaos and drama. So that was the second major turning point. And I will say again, by the grace of God, that was, 16 years ago, 16, 17 years ago. And I've been, you know, clean and sober. And I very soon after that, 6 months after that or so, I came off my antidepressant medication. So I've not been on any medications and not had a relapse in over 16 years.
Wow. That's amazing. Were there any specific modalities that were helpful to help you get through the process? Any particular approaches that you took that you found?
The triangle for me of treatments, what really was helpful for me, and again, this is very personal, this might not work for someone else, but 12-step recovery and really diving in, having a sponsor, going to meetings, doing service, not just showing up at meetings, but really diving in, workbooks, you know, doing a lot of writing, doing a lot of conscious work around recovery, you know, recovery from sobriety, but really what's underneath most addiction is trauma.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of healing for me in the 12-step programs. The second was the Unity Spiritual Movement. I became very active in my church, became one of the leaders. I was board president for about eight years at my Unity Church. I oversaw the church in its transition from its founding minister to the next minister. So, and so my spiritual practices, meeting with my minister, meeting with prayer chaplains, serving on the board. So, you know, service, prayer, reflection, support within my spiritual community was another huge one.
Yeah, it sounds like community was a real big part of all that,
yeah,
right?
You're not going to recover. You're not going to grow in consciousness in isolation. Yes, you need time alone to do the work, but you need people around you that are further along the path. Yeah. And the third for me, as I mentioned earlier, my work at Landmark Education, I became heavily involved in Landmark for about 10, 12 years. I was an introduction leader at Landmark Education. So the community there, the coursework there, it is just absolutely, I think, some of the best coaching work in the country or in the world. The programs, the mindset shift that I had through my work at Landmark Education. So, and, you know, I did individual therapy as well, but I mean, that was a drop in the bucket compared to those other three things.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. It's sometimes I feel that people underestimate the power of a supportive community.
Yeah.
And that when you can find a group of people who are dedicated to their own self-improvement, how much that supports us in developing ourselves and helping us to grow that much more.
Right, right. One of the things I remember learning at Landmark when I was being trained as an introduction leader was that you want to have a circle of friends that see you as wildly successful. That's the best problem you can have. Because they're always going to call you higher. And just knowing that people see you in that way molds your identity, which molds your behavior and actions. And I found that to be true for myself as I got, you know, as I recovered. And even when I went through that relapse, it was really short, largely because I was involved in communities of people that saw me as a very different person than what I was kind of doing subversively behind the scenes. And I couldn't stand it. I had really had to choose. It's going to be one or the other. It was almost which person am I going to be?
Yeah.
I chose the high road. So, and I'm grateful that I did.
Are there still any internal struggles from that? Like when you're alone or things are quiet, do you sometimes feel the calling of the substance or something, or are you pretty much now at peace with everything?
Yeah, I know. I my spouse and I talk about this from time to time. I honestly, Sam, I feel like a completely different person. When I look back at the things that I did and the places I would compromise my integrity and, do whatever because of the grip of the addiction. When I look back on that, I can't even identify with that person. Wow. So no, I have not, you know, certainly early addiction, everybody white knuckles it and, you know, there's that pull. But I don't even remember the last time I had any inclination whatsoever to engage in that kind of addictive behavior. Now, look, I've still got addictions, as do you, as does every single person listening to us, right? So it's not like
mine
I don't
is have food.
My life. Yeah, well, for all of us, we're addicted to our ego. We're addicted to being right, to getting our way, to our world view. We're addicted to being right.
That's a big one. That's a big epidemic.
Yeah. I still really, you know, need to work at subjugating my ego to my higher self, my higher calling. Because, you know, the ego wants me to just, you know, sit on the couch and eat bonbons or whatever, not put myself out there, not take risks, not make these films, and, you know, not be on a world stage. That's what my ego wants to do. And, you know, of course, I want to be right if I get into an argument with my son or if I, heaven forbid, read the news and see what's happening in our country. I can get incredibly opinionated about that. Mm-hmm. And then I have to be like, you know, there it is again.
Yeah.
The ego's tendency to want to be right.
What do you do to feel your heart's voice? What practice do you have to tap into your higher self or your spiritual side that you know that's coming from a higher place and not from a personality?
Yeah, I was just doing it this morning, actually. So I have a daily morning spiritual practice where I do spiritual reading. I write a gratitude list, and then I write, I guess you'd call it a letter or a conversation with God. I mean, think of it of how you might use ChatGPT. I drop a prompt and I get some output. And the output is never like what I had been thinking. It's from some other plane of energy or consciousness or existence that I get guidance and direction in writing. So this is all in writing. You can barely read it. You know, I don't have to worry about someone stealing my journal because I'm writing so fast that my handwriting is really awful. But I get the guidance and direction that I'm seeking. But, you know, I meditate first. So I meditate just not long. I just quiet my mind for about 3 to 5 minutes, focusing on my breath, deep breathing, slowing down my body, slowing down my mind. And then there's generally something that I'll bring into the conversation. And, you know, this morning I started like, hey, God, wow, you know, this is really weighing on me. I'm not sure what to do about this. I need some advice. That's how it started today. And then I hear, it's not auditory, but there's this sense of what the response is. You know, my inner God voice can sometimes be really kind of cool, hip and snarky. So this morning it was like, yeah, hit me up. What we got, you know, and I'm writing about what the questions are and I get answers. And the guidance is definitely beyond my current wisdom.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, Jackie. Okay. We're going to take our next break. When we come back, let's talk about these books and upcoming movies you have going on. Okay.
Sounds good.
Awesome. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with my guest, Jackie Woodside, and we'll be right back to continue the conversation.
Hey, everybody. It's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A-Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, couples therapy that works.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A-Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
And welcome back. So, Jackie, as you've been, you know, moving along with your personal practice, with helping others, what got you decide to write some books?
Oh, wow. You know, it was just something, again, it's one of those callings inside of me. I teach a lot of kind of spiritually oriented self-development programs. And every time I would teach some group program, somebody would be like, do you have this in a book? Do you have this in an e-course? Do you have? So, yeah, you know, I finally took that initiative. And anyway, so I've written three books, and I've got chapters and probably about a dozen others as well. So my first book was on time. My first book was on managing change. My second book was on self-management or managing time. And my third book was on money, your relationship to money. And really, all of my books are the same book because they're all about raising consciousness.
Right.
I really fundamentally am a consciousness teacher. I see that life is so incredibly simple that when you begin living your life from the inside out, paying attention first to your consciousness and then to your circumstances, everything changes. But nobody wakes up in the morning thinking, I just wish I could raise my consciousness.
Yeah.
You know, people are stressed about money and time and change and how to cope with things. So that's how I chose those three topics, time, money, and change, because they are three of the things that people get, you know, kind of anxious or stressed about. But the books really are all about your consciousness and how to navigate change in a higher level of consciousness, how to have a healthier relationship with money and create greater flow through having what I call a higher money vibe. How to manage and go from stress management and time management to self-management, which is all about, you know, managing yourself in time. That book is called Calming the Chaos. Mm-hmm. So, it's just been great. You know, I love writing books. I want to write this next one called Living in the Domain of Miracles, which is, again, it's a course that I teach. Yeah, I love that course, Living in the Domain of Miracles. It really is a formulaic step-by-step approach to living your life from the inside out. And it is the game changer. That's what saved my life, you know, from a life of addiction and, you know, difficulty and depression to the life I'm living now. It was really shifting the focus from the circumstances to my consciousness.
Gotcha. And so I'm curious about that that course. Well, my first question though is, over the years that you've been doing this, have you seen a change in the people who are showing up in your life or showing up for help from you? Or are people really just, it's the same stuff over and over again?
It's an interesting question. I guess I would say that the people who are showing up now, maybe it's because I'm older and that I'm, you know, drawing people who are a little bit older, wiser to me. But I would say that the people now are seasoned. They're fairly awakened. They've done a lot of work on themselves. They're not necessarily in constant dramas and traumas. I've always served, kind of spiritually oriented people who are up to something. So they want to contribute in a big way. They want to be successful. And they want to, you know, honor that we are here first as spiritual beings, just kind of playing in this human suit, having a human experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So living in the domain of miracles, what did you find, just to give our audience a little bit of a taste, what does it take to be in that domain?
Yeah, it's, you know, I like to say it's very simple, but not always easy, right? So what it takes is a high level of consciousness. Then how do you develop a high level of consciousness? Well, first of all, and this is where I begin the course, your life has to be fairly well managed. You know, it's hard to paint a masterpiece when the house is on fire.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people's house is on fire. You know, their finances are a mess. Their relationships are not that great. Their health isn't that great. You know, their career isn't where they want it to be. So where I begin is helping people just put out the fires. I call it building a strong foundation for the living of your life. So the whole first part of the course is looking at what are the current structures of your life. And honestly, I think a lot of coaches miss the boat on this because everybody's like, oh, I'll help you get to your vision. But if you don't look at the current structures of your life, I don't want people going out and saying, oh, I'm going to have this great life on top of building it on sand.
Right.
So that's the first place for people to look, like how well structured is your life? Meaning, you know, what kinds of dramas and traumas are you living with? And the fewer you have, likely the higher consciousness you're living in. As within, so without. Your right. outer world is an outpicturing of your inner world. When Absolutely. I was a hot mess on the outer world, it's because psychologically, spiritually, emotionally, I was a hot mess on my inner world.
Absolutely.
Now I'm happy. And, you know, people say, how are you? I always say happy and blessed.
So, I mean, could you give us an example for our audience? Just one little piece of like, what's an example of someone who's living a life that's one aspect of the life that's not well structured? And what would it being well structured look like?
Yeah. So let's just say finances. It's very concrete. If people are in arrears with a bunch of bills, they owe money to, you know, five relatives so much so that they won't go to a, you know, summer picnic with a family reunion because they owe too many, you know, they're avoiding people. They're not answering the phone because the bill collectors, their back taxes haven't been paid in the last 4 or 5 years, you know, making it, you know, paycheck to paycheck, just barely, no savings, no will, no future planning. That's a hot mess financially for an adult. So what it would look like when it's well structured is you have some form of, or multiple, I have multiple savings accounts, and my savings accounts are dedicated for certain things. So I have a recreation account. I have an education account. I have a long-term saving for spending for bigger purchases like a jet ski or, buying a new car, something like that. So I have dedicated savings, you know, so I do teach that to people. But then, you know, do you have a will? What's your estate planning like? What are your retirement accounts and your retirement assets looking like? What's your debt? Yeah. So that's just an example, helping people get their debt cleaned up, particularly if they have personal relationships where they're in arrears with paying people. I have them reach out to those people and acknowledge that. Just start coming clean, bring integrity into your relationships, because all of that is energy, right? So you're holding internal shame and embarrassment, and you're carrying that to the next job interview, or you're carrying that when you ask for the promotion or the raise, and it communicates super loudly.
Yeah.
So that's just one example, and I could do every area of life, you know, but people need to get their lives cleaned up,
right.
their relationships, their health.
Right. Well, in today's world, like today, what do you feel people are struggling with more than you've seen them struggle with in the past?
I mean, I think in today's world today, what people in this country are struggling with is the political strife and discord and finances. Those are people have always kind of struggled with finances. That's not new. But even, you know, more successful mid-career or beyond, professional people really struggling financially because of the way the economy is. But I think people are really struggling with this what I would call an existential crisis of being. You know, I've done all this work and you know, we think that we're awakening, but look at what's happening in our world.
Right.
So that is definitely, I see something that I see people struggle with.
How do you deal with that question?
Yeah, that, you know, I can mirror it onto my own path and progress. Nothing is linear.
Yeah.
You know, I would get better and I would do really well. And I would, you know, have 2 or 3 years and then I'd have a relapse into either depression or addiction or both. But each time I had a relapse into depression, what I noticed is I didn't go down as far and I didn't stay as long.
Long, right.
So like I could map that, you know, over time. So when I would have another relapse into depression, be like, okay, I'm here again, but it's not as bad. I can get out of this. So just the experience. So anyway, I also look at the evolution of humanity that way. You know, we're definitely, according to my values, in a dark period of fairly unconscious, you know, hate-filled spewing of rhetoric that is toxic and harmful.
Right.
As kind of common social discourse in our world today. You know, so we're, you know, we culturally have backslid into the toxicity of being run by the ego, being dominated by fear and separation rather than oneness and love. And it will come around again. And we are the ones that have to do that, by the way. I love my students. I have a course called Living a Transcendent Life. It's a course that follows Living in the Domain of Miracles. My students are just so committed to like living a transcendent life, you know, transcendent consciousness is what I'm referring to, which is beyond just me, mine, and ours. I'm living for the goodness of humanity, not just for the goodness of myself.
Right. Right, exactly. Exactly. It's going from the I structure to the we structure, and knowing that we're an integral part of everything that's going on around us. We're not independent and separate. We're a piece of the puzzle. We're not something on our own. What challenges you today? What challenges do you face today that are different than the past?
So I was just asked if I want to be featured. So I'm making two films, and both mm-hmm. of those films are based on bodies of work of mine. I've been in that process now for 2 years, mm-hmm. and we're about in September. We will launch the first one. Mm-hmm. Through this process and networking, I've become more visible to other filmmakers. So a gentleman who is a documentarian filmmaker approached me about 2 months ago and asked me if I want my own feature film featuring me and my body of work and whatever I would want to bring to the world through a documentary, and then also bringing in other teachers and thought leaders as part of that. So, you know, what used to challenge me is, am I going to get out of bed today? My life feels so meaningless, and what's the point? And today it's like, wow, do I want to commit the next 2 to 3 years to this major, major project that that will really, every yes is a no to something else,
yes.
right? So am I a yes to this project, which will be a no to a bunch of other things. While at the same time, I'm tearing down one of my summer cottages and building a year-round home, and my son is in college. And, you know, so those are the things that I'm navigating today. Like, am I going to do that? Am I going to commit to that kind of, I mean, it's hard to pass up what a sexy, fun, wonderful opportunity it would be. And still there's, you know, with every blessing, there's a cost and a sacrifice. So that's the kind of thing that I kind of grapple with today and need to use wisdom rather than knowledge to make those decisions.
Right. Right. Cause that sounds like the kind of thing that's very appealing to the ego, right? It's a nice stroke of the ego, makes us feel real good. Oh, someone can make a movie about me. But is that what's going to serve our purpose? Is that what's in the best and highest calling? And it might be, and it might not be, depending on where we are, right? Depending on what we feel into being the best use of our resources.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually not how my ego has responded to it, or the ego. And I certainly can appreciate that. In fact, that never even dawned on me. So I'm, you know, I can appreciate that. For me, it's more, my thought about it is legacy work. You know, I'm not in the early or middle part of my career, shall we say. You know, I would see this as kind of my capstone of my career. And the opportunity to get to choose who I create that with is incredibly appealing to me. And the other thing is, I just feel like my teaching is so practical, and it makes elevation of consciousness so simple for people to understand. People tell me that all the time. You make these concepts so easy, so applicable, that interests me to be able to put that into a documentary. So cool. Yeah, I hadn't really thought about it. It's not really a movie. I mean, I guess it is in some ways a movie about me, but I wouldn't gear it that way per se. I would gear it toward the work.
Got it. All right, we got to take our last break of the show. When we come back, I do want to talk about your two movies coming up, Money Vibe and The Frequency of Miracles. Frequency of Miracles is the title that really got me interested. So let's talk about that when we come back from break, okay? All right, everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We've been speaking this hour with Jackie Woodside, and we'll be right back to finish it all up and talk about her movies.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Ready to serve up success with a splash? Hi, I'm Bruce Kramer, a.k.a. the Corporate Cockroach.
I'm the Renaissance Woman, Angie Snowball.
And I'm your strategy doctor, Dr. Navtej Dasanjh, inviting you to serving up success with a splash.
Join us as we shake things up with real talk and real strategies centered around awareness, action, and accountability.
And yes, there really is a cocktail involved. Please join us and sip your way to success.
Serving up success with a splash, where wisdom meets happy hours. Cheers!
Cheers! You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
So Jackie, you have these two movies coming out, Money Vibe and The Frequency of Miracles. Briefly, what are they about, and when can we hope to see them?
Yeah, so September 2025 will be when Your Money Vibes is released. So it's actually, so if you want to check it out, it's yourmoneyvibes.com, I think is the URL for our website. And you'll be able to attend an online red carpet event and watch the film. So that is, it's about your money vibe. Like I said, I wrote a book called Money Vibe. That's all about the fact that all of our experiences in life are generated from the consciousness with which we live, the energetic vibration of our beliefs, emotions, attitudes, and thoughts, our inner world of belief and perception, and then how that impacts two things. It impacts how we act, what we do, what decisions we make, and it impacts who is drawn towards us, what circumstances show up in our lives. So there's the attraction factor, like attracts like on the energetic plane. So when you have a high money vibe, it's just easier to make money. Things just show up in your world in a much easier way. When you have a low money vibe, you're going to end up with all kinds of financial challenges and struggles. So, and then we've got wonderful speakers in both of these movies, Michael Beckwith, Marcy Shymoff.
Oh, Marcy.
Yeah, Marcy's mm-hmm. lovely.
Oh, Lynn Twist. Yeah.
Lynn Twist is in the book. I don't know if you know Coot Blackson, Joe mm-hmm. Vitale, Bruce Lipton, Dawson Church, some amazing yeah. thought leaders. Sister Jenna, who's the head of the Brahma Kumari movement in Washington, D.C. area. Really wonderful people. And it was just so lovely to be able to spend time to get to know each of them and spend time with them.
Mm. How long is it going to be?
The film?
Yeah.
It's a 90-minute film. Documentaries tend to be 90 minutes long.
Okay. Yeah, so. All right. Now let's talk about what I'm
The Frequency
really interested
of Miracles.
In, The Frequency of Miracles. That to me is a cool movie.
Yeah. So it's, again, kind of loosely based on my work, Living in the Domain of Miracles. And the premise is that when you're living in a consciousness of, love and acceptance and peace and equanimity, what I call either transformation or transcendence consciousness mm-hmm. versus survival or stress consciousness. Those are the names that I have for it. So survival and stress consciousness are those lower realms where, you have more of a repellent energy for things that are positive and an attractive energy for things that are difficult. So when you understand that premise, that life is created from the inside out based on the energy, that energy field, and this is not woo-woo, by the way, I'm into the science behind this. Mm-hmm. So energetically, you are a vibratory match for what you bring into your life. When you understand that and you design your life to live in the frequency of miracles, then you are experiencing miracles one after the other after the other. Like this, simple example, this documentary film, just the guy calls me up or emailed me, right. But in old school, calls me up and says, do you want to do this? Last summer, I just met a guy who brought me to speak at an event at the Paris Olympics last summer.
Oh.
I met him 3 or 4 weeks before the event, and he had just happened to have an opening, and I would be the perfect person for it. Through that contact, I met a guy who was literally a royal family member from the United Arab Emirates. And in February, he invited me. I went off to spend a week with a sheikh and the royal family in Dubai, Ajman and Sharjah and Abu Dhabi. was extraordinary. And I didn't do anything. Yeah. I didn't do anything. That is living in the domain of miracles. And by the way, then this guy named Sam invited me to be on this amazing show called the Conscious Consultant Hour. I didn't do anything. Just my friend Jill. She's like, Jackie, you guys should know each other. And here I am on the That's how it goes, Sam. That's living in the domain or the frequency of miracles. And that's what the film is all about. Really helping people understand the power of their inner world and how to access and change it.
Yeah. I'm also very much into the science. I had on my show earlier this year Paul Levy, who wrote the book The Quantum Revelation, which was all about quantum physics and how quantum physics is like a spiritual practice.
Yeah, it totally is. My work entirely lives at the intersection of science and spirituality.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful.
Science to back what wisdom tradition has shown us for thousands of years.
Exactly. It's so, to me, interesting how mystics and sages have been saying some of the same things that the scientists are now saying, but for thousands and thousands of years. It's like we intuitively were tapped into the truth. We just cloaked it in a certain spirituality or in a certain dogma that we're now finding that there's actually real truth at the heart of it.
Yeah, 100%.
What inspires you these days? Who inspires you?
It's a good question. You know, one of the things that I teach in Living in the Domain of Miracles is that I want you to create and design your life so that you're inspired by yourself. So it's interesting that you ask that. I don't know. I mean, there's no one in particular that I'm following. I do, you know, I want to be inspired by myself, by the way I think, by how loving I am, by how I interact with my family and my son and my willingness to step out and take risks. But I guess, you know, if I had to say one thing, one person that inspires me, and it's my spouse. I am the happiest married person that I know. It makes me all teary even just to think about it. I have a wonderful marriage, and particularly where I've come from. You know, domestic violence and all kinds of drama filled relationships for many, many years. To be in this kind of a loving, supportive marriage, my spouse is a chief of staff and executive vice president to a university president at university, which is the only university for the deaf in the world. And my spouse is profoundly deaf. And we use American Sign Language at home. And I do a lot of leadership work in the deaf community where I deliver it natively in American Sign Language. So,
oh, wonderful.
Yeah. I'm fluent in sign language. And I teach a course called Transformational Leader as Coach. And I've brought that to a number of deaf organizations and hearing organizations as well. But it's so incredibly gratifying because deaf people don't necessarily have any native access to this kind of transformational work. They would need to do it through an interpreter versus native access of an ASL user.
Yeah. One last question. What keeps you grounded when you're doing this transformational work?
My dog.
Yeah. Gotta walk that dog 3 times a day, right?
Yeah. You know, what keeps me grounded? Just my lifestyle. You know, every morning spiritual practice, every night I play either basketball or racquetball with communities of people that I love. And during the day, I 5 to 8 hours a day, 4 to 5 days a week, I get to spend time with people like you doing work that I love or traveling to really cool places to deliver programs. And, you know, so my lifestyle keeps me really grounded. I just moved up to my summer home where instead of racquetball and basketball, it shifts to pickleball, yoga, and Zumba. Because I'm in different communities in my summer home in the Thousand Islands of upstate New York, which is my great aunt and uncle's cottage. I own two of them. One great aunt and uncle and the other great aunt and uncle that my family has owned for 6 generations. So, you know, I'm pretty grounded.
Very good. Yes, I had a suspicion.
Created a life, you know, life by design. I created a life that I don't need a vacation from.
Nice. Nice, nice. Isn't that a life worth living? Well, Jackie, thank you so much. We have to wrap it up there. I so appreciate you. Thank you for taking the time to come on my show today.
Of course,
I really appreciate it.
It's a complete honor. And I really want to recognize you for the work you're doing in the world, Sam. I just really love what you're up to.
Thank you. Thank you. And you must let me know if you do decide to do that documentary film, and we'll have to have you back on when that's going to come out. Okay.
I would love that.
Wonderful. And of course, thank you, my loyal listeners, for tuning in each week. Without you, there is no show. I do appreciate you. If you enjoyed this week's talk with Jackie and my show in general, please don't keep us a secret. Share us with your friends, your family, your colleagues. Help us spread the word so that more and more people can get inspired by these conversations as well. And don't forget, if you did miss any part of today's show, you can always catch the replay on talkradio.nyc and on your favorite podcasting platform as well. Thank you all for tuning in. Take care. We will talk to you all next week.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy.
Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal.
Regain, powered by BetterHelp, offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both.
See why people wish they'd tried couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.